Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning at 6 minutes after eight on RSN 927. A bit of a different version of Correct Weight this Sunday, with obviously no racing in Victoria yesterday. Dean Lester and I will be joined by Carl Diorio shortly, and we'll soon after 8.30 turn our attention to previewing the big meeting at Caulfield, with plenty of trainer interviews, and then a panel. We'll be joined by Trent Langscale from the Tab just after 9 o'clock, and we'll have an in-depth look at the Caulfield meeting. And if you're looking for a fix of Victorian racing, don't forget there's picnic races at Woolamai and the Koroit Cup at Warrnambool. Depending on which part of the state you're in today, you can get your racing fix with no racing in Victoria yesterday. First half hour or so, we'll take a look back on what did happen in racing around Australia yesterday, and it was certainly highlighted by races at Randwick and the Gold Coast. And at the Gold Coast, a class record for the two-year-old filly by Zoustar Sunlight, trained by Tony McAvoy. A week out from the Magic Millions two-year-old classic, she certainly firmed up in betting there. Trent Langscale from the Tab will be with us for the preview, and he can tell us how that market's now shaping up. And four winners for Jason Collett at Randwick yesterday. Not the first time he's done it, but a great day in the office for Jason Collett at Randwick yesterday, Dino. And for those that do want to head out to Caulfield today, it's free entry, and it certainly won't be the heat that was around yesterday.
Certainly won't be, Warren, but looking forward to a good meeting. We've previewed it for a long time, it seems, so I think we know the fields pretty well, but yeah, looking forward to a good day at Caulfield.
And Carl Diorio's been suited up since Friday night, ready to head to Caulfield, and now he's ready to go, and you might have to refresh that suit before you head to Caulfield, Carl.
Don't know what I had to do with myself yesterday, just with no Victorian racing. It was like EI struck again, but a nice nine race car at Caulfield today. Really looking forward to it.
Seeing some of the research and the work you do on days where there have been a Saturday at the races, I'd hate to think what you'd do when you had your whole day to get stuck into those records of how times for 20 years ago and what two-year-olds have done. And I'm sure you'll be able to shed some light on what Sunlight did as we get deeper into that. But as I mentioned, Dino, it was a four-timer for Jason Collett at Randwick yesterday, and the last of his victories came up in race seven. It was for Jason Coyle, and that was a very strong win, and one the punters wanted. Siren's Fury, well supported.
Into the straight now. Live to Dream being joined here by Mollified. Mollified looks to travel better than it. Tennessee Hussey looking to work into the clear. Overstep is next. Siren Fury digging in, and Queen Misty down the outside as Mollified races to the lead. 175 out, but Siren Fury and Queen Misty the outside going to it. It's Siren Fury and Queen Misty. Collett getting into Siren Fury. He's lifting the favourite, and there's four winners for Jason Collett. Siren Fury beat Queen Misty, and Tennessee Hussey third, followed by Mollified.
Great day in the office yesterday. Jason joining us on RSN 927 from Sydney. Congratulations, and thanks for providing a highlight in racing around Australia yesterday. And we were deprived of racing in Victoria, so it's terrific to see your efforts in Sydney.
Yeah, thanks for that. Very happy with what went on.
Going into the meeting, you obviously had a strong book of rides. A number of the horses were well in the market. What were your expectations going into yesterday?
I had the nine rides, so I did a bit of form on the Friday morning, and a few of them, three or four of them were well on the market, so I was confident at least one winner. One or two would have been good, yeah.
Good to see the support from a wide range of trainers too. That's always good from any jockey's point of view. From your situation, how do you see the support you're getting across the range of trainers in Sydney?
It's good. It's I originally came over apprentice to Chris Waller, so the first probably couple seasons I was sort of getting a lot of support from him, which, you know, it's great, but as the last couple of years now, it's sort of branched out, which is even better now. You're not really relying on support from him and only get better rides off other trainers.
Any of the recent winners, Jason, taking you to the Gold Coast next week, where all eyes will be on the Magic Millions Carnival?
Yeah, we're going to head up there next week. Got a few for Bjorn Baker, Egyptian Symbol, good fella. So quite excited about that, yeah.
And what did you make of the two-year-old winner yesterday from Lindsay Parker for two? What was your impression of her winning performance?
Nice tight. She's quite a robust little filly. I was quite impressed the way she turned the foot she had. Still did quite a few things wrong too in the first probably half of the race, so very raw and, nice filly on the way up.
You mentioned Egyptian Symbol heading up there, and good to see her back in winning form recently. Your point of view, you've had a bit to do with her. What do you think's the best way to ride her? Is it letting her settle a little bit off the speed and working home?
Yeah, just at the moment it is. She's in a very, very good headspace at the moment. We've had two trials after that win at Rosehill. And both trials have been fantastic. She's happy, she's relaxing, and she hasn't been hard-pressed in the trial. She's just been doing enough. So we're ticking over pretty nicely come next week.
Great time for you in New South Wales at the moment with your partner Claire Cunningham, who's so well known down to us here in Victoria through her role with the Peter Moody stable and with her family being based in Gippsland. How's Claire's stable ticking over?
Yeah, really well, guys. She's going real well. Got about 10 in work at the moment, just slowly building. Had a nice winner last Wednesday, Cradle Mountain. He ran track record too, so that was quite impressive. He's put three on end together, so she's doing really well. I'm very happy.
Looks a really exciting horse, Cradle Mountain. I saw a post-race interview with Claire after that victory, and obviously being very focused on the horse, she wanted to know how he'd pull up, and obviously he looks up to at least midweek city standard, but getting deep enough into the preparation, just wanted to be a bit conservative about making any plans. What's the situation, do you think, a couple of days after that win?
He's only on his second sort of racing prep, or second prep in the whole, really. He came to us as a sort of mid to late 3-year old, and he just been broken in, and basically that was it. So this is all on his second prep. We're going to put him out, have a break now, and we'll just sort of go from there. There have been a few offers, so we're just going to weigh things up.
The talk yesterday with the heat in Melbourne, we obviously didn't race, and yesterday they moved the meeting from Warwick Farm to Randwick to avoid the real heat that might have been in those western suburbs. Overall, how did that work out?
Yeah, it's good that they followed you guys. it was a good move. I live in Chipping Norden, which is obviously right next to Warwick Farm, and I think it was 8 degrees hotter yesterday, so it was only 31, 32, I think, at Randwick, but that was still very warm. Yeah.
A great day in the office yesterday, Jason, following on from that win on the Villiers on Crack Me Up. So it's been a terrific time for you, and great to see Claire doing so well also with her stable based out of Warwick Farm. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Good day's racing at Randwick yesterday, Dino. Very competitive, obviously not feature racing, but Hugh Bowman back in the saddle and back in winning form following some time overseas and obviously highlighted by the four wins of Jason.
Yeah, it was, Warren, and he hit the ground running with a really nice ride on Aqua Divina, a really patient ride, and brought it into the race at the right time to nab Island Missile late, and then the filly that Carl just referenced for two, thought she was in a bit of trouble just on straightening, but I liked the way that she flattened out late to win the two-year-old.
Carl, there was talk about Aqua Divina. Oh, she's qualified and she's still in the Magic Millions. Maddie Smith post-race was a little bit conservative, and he's come through the Bart Cummings School, so he would be a trainer who's focused on the horse rather than being dazzled. But owned by a group of ladies and eligible to head to the Magic Millions, I'm sure there'll be some discussions held during the week.
No doubt. And what a wonderful pedigree she's got by Piero Ad, the Group 1 winning mare, Aqua D'Amore. So I'm sure if he protects that asset that he has, she's going to continue to win further races.
I think she's had a bit of an issue like Aqua D'Amore with the barriers as well. So whether the backup and heading up to the Gold Coast would be absolutely ideal. They've obviously got her in a really good headspace at the moment.
Dean, you focus heavily on the two-year-olds right throughout the country. How did you line up for two's performance yesterday?
Look, it was sound. An effort of a filly that I think will probably go further more than anything. I don't know if this was a race for the that went to 1200 metres, and I think these would be the ones that would be looking to get over a little bit further later on. But she did a good job and got the wanders a little bit out wide when she did get clear. Like, looked like she was going to win definitely, and then she just wandered about a bit. So there's still room to move for her improvement.
For me, another highlight performance of racing at Randwick yesterday was the off-the-speed win of Lanciato for Mark Newnham, who's doing a terrific job with his small stable. But the highlight performance in racing around Australia yesterday and the most anticipated race was on the Gold Coast. It was a two-year-old race over 1,100 metres, race two.
at the top of the straight, 300 left to run. Luke Curry riding hands and heels with Sunlight. He gives her a little push and she responds magnificently. Extended three, four in front. Terminology can do no more than Pequeri, but Sunlight shooting clear. Maybe a sign of things to come, you might say. Who knows? But Sunlight today trotted in, one by four from Terminology and Pequeri. A decent gap, Sugar Sizzle, Mashani Phantom.
Tony McAvoy had been on plenty of media outlets during the week saying that he probably expected Sunlight to go to the races and win, but wow, she did more than win. She set the racing world alight with talk of how good she might be, and Tony joins us on the back of that win yesterday. Morning, Tony.
Yeah, good morning, Warren.
Conservative and as controlled and level-headed as you are, surely you got a little bit excited yesterday.
Yeah, when Luke pressed the button on the top of the straight, that really stood my hairs up. She's a pretty exciting filly, and coming into a big race like the Magic Millions at the time of the year, it's very, very exciting, I've got to say.
Luke's had a lot to do with her. What was his comments post-race yesterday?
Yeah, look, he was pretty excited about her. He just said that she did it so much more professionally than the start before. He said even going to the barriers, she was much more composed, stood in the gate. In the past, she's been a little bit agitated in the barriers, Warren, but yesterday she stood there and accepted it and flew the lids and just controlled the race. And the other real positive from Luke was that when he wanted... When Gaze Horse decided just to drop off, Luke asked her just to come back a half a length, and she accepted it really well and came back under it. So that's something she's never been really good at doing. So I think there's a lot of positives to come out of it.
So I was just going to ask you about, Tony, from that first start in the Maradong trial where she was really hard on the bit in the middle stages, she seems to have got very soft in Luke's hands in a couple of runs, so she's really learning quickly.
Yes, she is, Dean. She is. And just that day, you know, spring carnival time, it's a big, for first-timers, these babies, it's a big occasion. And she just got a little bit excited when she got behind the barriers in the Maribyrnong. And Luke knew then that we were in a little bit of strife. And of course, we were still learning about her then too. If we'd known now what we knew, you know, back then, we'd have kept pressing and wouldn't have let Nomathard lead us. But that's learning about your animal and what we've got to handle.
Tony, how important is drawing a barrier for next Saturday's race? Is it really integral to her winning chances that she draws inside eight?
Yeah, I think so, Carl. Barriers are important in any race, I believe, and certainly at the Gold Coast. I walked it there on Friday and you cover some ground if you've caught wide there. It's a real disadvantage, I would have thought. So, look, the barrier gods have been really kind to me with her, and I hope that continues.
What does the week involve with her now that she's had the run yesterday and you're now 6 days out from grand final day?
Yeah, look, all our work's done, I think, now, Warren. I really do believe that she needed that yesterday, and I think now what I saw in the run and after the race and the half an hour after the contest, the way she recovered and handled it and how bright she was in the eye, she's now a fit racehorse and ready for a grand final. So she'll just have a nice quiet week. We'll go down to Nudgee Beach and she'll wade around in the water and have some fun and just have a canter through the week, really.
With a horse that's creating such a bit of a boom, how do you manage owners' expectations with such an exciting filly?
Look, I've got a group of girls in this filly, and
just order more champagne then.
Yeah, just a little bit more champagne. But look, they're very, very excited. A couple of girls first time in, and you count your lucky stars, don't you, to get a horse this good at any time, whatever stage you are of ownership. But look, they're just feel blessed and got great expectations of what we can do next week.
Fingers crossed for a safe week and a good barrier draw, as you'd outlined. We spoke briefly yesterday about a filly you've got on debut in the transferred meeting from Saturday to Sunday in South Australia in the Spicer Thoroughbred colours, Once in a Lifetime. How's she on game day morning?
Yeah, look, she's nice. She's good this morning, lovely and bright. My team have rang me from home, Warren, and they're very pleased with her. And she's a nice filly in the making. She's going to be a three-year-old and a miler. I've got the half-brother, a horse called Nistan, and he ran second for me in November in a two-year-old race at Ballarat, the Magic Millions backwards race. And then he ever since then, he's been looking for further and further. So I've learned quite a bit about the family from him. And I like her. She'll run very well today, but she'll be much better when she gets out to 1,600 metres.
An exciting week ahead, Tony. I'm sure you're going to be doing plenty of media and hopefully plenty of media post-race, and very busy looking at yearlings, looking for the next Sunlight up on the Gold Coast. Enjoy the week and thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Warren. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Carl. See you, fella.
Dean, we've got a very high opinion of her, and she looked terrific over the 900 metres last time. From your point of view, how did yesterday's performance line up?
Yeah, well, that's just exactly what you wanted to see yesterday, and that's why I asked Tony about that, because she relaxed beautifully in the middle stages. Now, her damn solar charge, that was her greatest setback. She just couldn't pace herself that well, even though she won a Thoroughbred Club at 1,200. But this filly's development from run to run's exceptional, and her appearance. I mean, she's bodied up enormously from when we saw her only 3 months ago in Melbourne. Just looking at her coming back, she's just in perfect order. And with two runs around that track, I think it's great experience and really well planned by Tony McAvoy to give her every chance to win next week.
Mightn't be an easy thing to do, but terminology ties in the form line through Jonkers and Sunlight, although terminology was slowly away on debut at Wyong. Is there any way we can try and tie that form line together to see how they might measure up together?
Oh, not really. I've got a feeling terminology peaked in a trial about 4 weeks ago. I don't think we've seen the best of her either race day performances at Wyong or yesterday, but her trial would suggest she's well above average, but I just don't think it's there for her just yet.
Your thoughts, Carl?
Well, I agree with what Dean was saying in terms of the distance and the way Sunlight gives every impression she'll run out a strong 1,200. And I think Tony McAvoy's really done a nice job in relocating this filly up to Queensland in preparation for this race, because Augusta Proud, when the Magic Millions was held at a later time slot, I think it was about March or April, is the last horse from outside New South Wales or Queensland to win the Magic Millions back in 2008. So it's not very easy for a horse trained down south to just go up there on the hit-run mission. It's been really well planned.
Although there's plenty of money on offer there next Saturday, Dean, that the two-year race is going to get a lot of talk during the week. Have you got an early thought about, given pre-barrier draw, etc., how you might line them up?
Yeah, well, that's the fascination. The horses like F Troop with good, really good speed, and Sunlight's had the good preparation. I've been interested in Nomathage all the way through, so I think I'm not always beholden to barrier draws, but around the Gold Coast, obviously, Mrs. McAvoy kept Tony out wide when they walked the track on Friday. He said he was covering a lot of ground there, and you do. You just see it every year, so want to see the barrier draws.
Carl?
Yeah, exactly the same. I was just asking Tony if he was very, very bullish and he thought he could draw 14 and still win, but barriers are very, very important in the Magic Millions Classic, and
We saw Hootson last year, didn't she? She just charged across, but that was going to always be her style. I think if two or three of them get involved in that, you wouldn't want to see that this year, because there's good speed elements in the race this year.
Bondi at $11, maybe at an each-way price if you're desperate to get involved before the barrier draw. I think that's a bit of a touch of overs.
Bondi over the Gold Coast.
Exactly right.
Nice to know. Phil from Dubbo's up and about, chiming in via the SMS 0416 90 50 52. We're about to turn our attention to some trainer interviews looking at Caulfield today, and then we're going to get right into the form after 9 o'clock. But Phil's got a good handle on the Sydney form. The Uptown Lad form proved to be superior summer form around 1,400 yesterday, with Siren's Fury winning and Malaise and Level 8 running the Quinella in the last. So Phil's got a great handle on the Sydney form, and he's also got a little bit of a twisted sense of humour. He said the scary thing is that Sunlight normally goes faster in the winter. I think he's referring to the days getting shorter, and maybe we can see Sunlight even run faster when we get out of the summer months. If she can go much faster than yesterday, she's certainly got some good things ahead.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.